I generally try to separate certain subjects and sermons by at least 2 or 3 years so that we can at least forget that I preached them and I can preach them again. That's probably a terrible way of putting it. But there's one sermon I preach every year. Actually, there's two of them. One I preach at the end of the year, which is Come Upon Us, and then the next one I'll be preaching at the beginning of the new year. When people are young, they tend to think that this life is going to last a long time, and we tend sometimes not to be diligent, not to realize how important it is to be preparing for the day when we stand before the Lord on the judgment day. God has some high expectations of us, as we're going to see in the lesson that I present this evening. And so every year, I like for us to look back on this year and think about whether or not we took advantage of the opportunities that we had this year, because they're gone now. You can't go back and get back what you've lost. You can't go back and return those hours and days and years that we have already lived. And so the best we can do is to, at some point in our lives, say, you know, I've made some mistakes, and now I'm going to try to do better. And so it may be that everyone in this congregation is buying up every opportunity, doing everything that they're supposed to be doing, but I still think that this sermon needs to be considered and pondered at least once a year. And so we begin in the 39th Psalm, where it says, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. You know, there's a passage in Ecclesiastes that said God put eternity into our hearts. And I notice, and you've noticed, that from the time of our youth, we really feel eternal. We don't think about leaving. We don't think about dying. We don't think about how frail we are. And there's a lot of 20-year-olds who end up dying because they don't recognize how frail they are. And so they take terrible chances with their lives. And of course, he's not dealing so much with the spirit, or excuse me, with the physical side of things as he is the spiritual side. And so, as we begin our lesson this evening, I'd like you to think about in your own mind, do you think about this? Is this your prayer? Is this something that you would like to become more and more, more acutely aware of? Make me to know my end. I am a finite individual. We'll see in a few moments, there's a passage that says 70 or 80 years. Some people reach that, some people don't. But make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths. My age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man in his best state is but a vapor. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. This is a very important passage of Scripture. It encapsulates a lot of the things the Lord says in the Sermon on the Mount about laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, about not putting our emphasis on this life, about you can't serve God and wealth or God and riches, about the parable of the sower, where those who allow the things of this world, the joys, the pleasures of life to choke out the word, these are not sinful things that Jesus speaks of when he says the riches and pleasures of this life. In measure, they're good. They're fine. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to anoint our head with oil. He wants us to live joyfully with the wife or husband of our youth. He wants us to take pleasure in our work and to enjoy the things of this life. But anything that goes too far or that we spend too much time on and we neglect the things that are of a higher priority, and that is our soul and our eternal destiny that is coming upon us. And so again in the Sermon on the Mount, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Certainly we can enjoy time. We can enjoy our time off. We can enjoy the things of this life. But we must always remember that we still are seeking first the kingdom. And what exactly does that mean? Well, we'll be developing that. But as you can see in this passage of Scripture, what he's trying to do is put us into perspective. Let me know how frail I am. Help me to know my end, which is coming. That my days are handbreadths. That at my best state, I'm only a vapor. James speaks of that. You who say, next year we're going to do this and that. But you don't realize you should be saying, if the Lord will. Now, I believe that can become vain repetition. We could certainly say it to the point, and I've met Christians that do this, where everything they say is, if the Lord will this, if the Lord will that. But whether we verbalize it as vain repetition or whether it's just in our mind from time to time, we need to verbalize that. Because that's what he said. You ought to say, if the Lord will. Every man walks about like a shadow. So, at the end of this of each year, I like to reflect. Preached a sermon last year, not exactly like this. There's three or four that I pull out. But I preached it last year. I preached it the year before. I've been here six. This is the sixth time, because I'm closing out on the sixth year that I've been here. So, this is the sixth time you've heard this lesson. And has it made any difference yet? Or is this just, okay, well, this is new to me. I hope it's not new to you. I hope you're saying, yeah, I remember this verse. I remember this sermon. But along the way, there are deadlines. Deadlines between faithfulness and unfaithfulness. Deadlines between you wicked and slothful servant and you good and faithful servant. Differences between whether or not we are manifesting to God our gratitude and appreciation for what he's done for us. We are his servants and we have entered into a vineyard. And we have a responsibility and obligation. No one is going to be taking the gospel to the lost, and no one is going to have the opportunity to encourage people to get to heaven except God's people. And so we have a big responsibility on our hands, especially as we get smaller and smaller and more work needs to be done. This says, for though this time, or by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you. Again, the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Paul speaks in Philippians chapter 3 of the upward call. And of to the degree that we have attained, let us walk there. We can't slip back. And yet, here we have a group of people, and if every indication is true, these are the people who were converted in Acts chapter 2. These are the people who were the Hebrews who had really, through the church in Jerusalem, done a lot of work. But among them now, things are shifting. But more importantly for you and I, we are babes. We need to be taught. We need the milk of the word. We need to develop. But a time comes, and God knows what that time is, and I need to know what it is, and I need to be working toward it when I can be the teacher. Now, as I said, this is not necessarily teaching a Bible class. This is somebody coming to you and saying, you know, the Bible says that I'm supposed to pray without ceasing. Could you explain to me how you do that? That's how we teach. Or, I'm really struggling with repentance and confession and feeling forgiven. Can you explain to me how it is that you feel forgiven? There are things that, by doing, we should be able to teach others. We should be able to explain them to others. So, we have deadlines along the way. He called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said, do business with this until I come back. Now, we'll look at the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 toward the end of the lesson. But as Paul said in Romans chapter 12, having gifts that differ, let us minister them one to another. Or as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, that we are to minister and serve in the strength which God supplies. So, these deadlines along the way, you know, in high school classes, I remember this from years gone by, where the teacher would say, look, you have a heavy load and you need to have certain things memorized. You can't cram at the end of this class. Most of us do that. We kind of float along and really enjoy life, and then in the last week or so, we get everything done. But every once in a while, the teacher's going to tell you, you can't do that in this class. There's just too much that has to be remembered. So you're going to have to do this week by week by week. And again, some Christians live their lives, I'll worry about it at the end. And some people live their lives with, I'm going to get as much as I can day by day by day. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. I used to read this verse. I started preaching when I was 24 and I became a Christian at 19, and I would read this verse and I would say to myself, well, I already understand this. But when you start passing these milestones, 30, 40, 50, 60, this year will be 65 for me, which is a pretty big milestone for most people. And I'm reading this verse and I'm saying to myself, it is soon cut off. We do fly away. We saw this happen to our brother last week. And it's a very bitter thing. He wasn't planning on being gone, but he was always ready. And we need to make those plans. And so it is soon cut off. And then verse 11, I think, is a very important. Who knows the power of your anger? Well, Sodom and Gomorrah knows the power of God's anger. And those who lived before the flood, they understand the power of God's anger. But the fear that we feel toward God is well-founded. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And there needs to be a fear. This concept of grace somehow turning God into a wonderful grandfather that we don't really need to be afraid of is a false teaching. Jesus was very clear when he said, the way that leads to life is difficult and narrow, and only a few are going to find it. And I want to be one of those few, and I want you to be one of those few. But there needs to be a fear. Who really knows the power of your anger? Well, those who are cast into eternal hell will know the power of God's anger, but I sure don't want to learn it that way, and I know you don't either. We want to learn it right now. As the fear of you, so is your wrath, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So, just like the hourglass, with the sands pouring through it, we've all seen it in a movie or we've seen it in real life. Some of us used to have the little egg timer where you would flip the thing over. But it's manifesting that slowly trickling through, and over time, the one starts to empty and the other starts to fill. The bigger it is, the smaller the hole it goes through, the longer you have to wait to watch it. Sometimes you can watch it for 5 minutes and you don't really see anything. But the point that God is making is that those fleeting days are passing. And we need to be aware of that. We are not just floating through life. We are setting goals. We are making plans. We are numbering our days. When I go on a trip, matter of fact, I often call this sermon mileposts, because this year we're passing another one. And when I'm going on a trip, I know how many miles I have to go. I know where I'm at on the trip. And I like to watch those road signs come by with each mile, because it's telling me I'm getting closer and closer. So numbering our days means at the end of this year, okay, I've been a Christian today. How long? Each one of us, figure it out. When were you baptized? What year? How many years has it been? And that means how many years are left? And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. This is a powerful passage of Scripture for all of us to ponder, because it's true. We do know the time. Now, as I say, when we're in our 20s, we read this verse and we say, yeah, I understand it. I understand it. But you'll understand it better in your 30s, and much better in your 40s and 50s, because as the years go by, we know that the time left is getting shorter and shorter. And I don't know about you, but I want to be ready when I stand before the Lord. And I know what I need to be doing. And it's time to wake up and find better and better ways of doing it. We spoke last year, and we'll bring this up again in that lesson I do after the first of the year. What are your goals going to be for this year? Well, what were the goals last year? Did you set a goal of reading the Bible through in a year? We'll be putting out the forms again this year that break it out. You can do it chronologically. You can do it morning and evening. You can do it in the day. There's three different kinds there. But there's no excuse, brethren, for not eating and feeding on the Word of God day by day by day. There's just such a benefit to it. And we've lost another opportunity if we didn't do that. How about our prayers? We talked this morning about spending an hour in prayer. Is that something that's absolutely unfathomable to us? That we could actually spend that kind of time talking to the Lord about our brethren, about our problems, about the beauty of this world, being thankful, being grateful, looking at our concerns, the things we need to grow, repenting of our sins, helping us to better understand the Scriptures, fighting those battles, leading us not into temptation, and struggling to grow beyond these things. So, knowing the time, teach us to number our days. Help us to understand how frail we are. Are these in our minds? Will they be in our mind tomorrow, this week, this next coming year? Knowing the time, it's way past time to awake out of sleep. You say to yourself, well, I'm already awake. Well, I know I'm partially awake, but it takes the Scriptures to show me whether I'm fully awake. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. I need to be alert all the time. But sometimes we're watching television, or we are relaxing, or we're just talking with our friends, and things happen that shouldn't have happened. Things get seen that shouldn't have been seen. We finish our years like a sigh. Every one of us is on this chart. You can put yourself where you need to be. You can remember back, here's what my plans were when I became a Christian. Have I met those goals? Have I become the faithful servant that I intended to be? Have I fulfilled my responsibilities, and what more can I do? We will finish our years like a sigh. It will soon be cut off, and we will fly away. And so we need to number our days so we gain a heart of wisdom. So I need to find myself on this chart. I need to look at what have I done with the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? And how much time do I have left? And can I reach the goals that I really want to meet? When I stand before the Lord, there are certain things I want to have done. I don't want to have any sin. So I need to make sure that every day I am repenting of my sins, but that I'm also growing and leaving them behind. We can't just stay in sin day after day after day, asking and repenting for the same sin without Lord seeing our growth and development. There has to be something. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror. Now there it is again. Remember, we saw this back in Psalm 90. The fear of you. Who knows the power of your anger? Paul says, I know. I know the terror of the Lord. I know that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Knowing that, we persuade men. If Jesus came back right now, are you ready to stand before the Lord? And if you're not, what needs to be changed so that you will be ready? And what steps are we taking day by day to reach that so that we will actually be ready? Because, brethren, if we're not ready, in our estimation, Paul said something in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, I don't judge myself, because even if I justify myself, it's the Lord who judges me. And I may have missed something. What does that mean? That means that Paul is searching the Scriptures like the Bereans. He himself is searching those Scriptures every day to make sure that the judgment that he has passed on himself But it also says, if anyone's heart condemns him, God is greater than our heart. So those things that we are condemning, you remember we talked about this a few weeks ago about the Gentiles. God can use a man's conscience when his conscience is aligned with the Scripture to pass judgment. And God will do that. That's what Paul says there. Now, I don't think he has to do that for Christians because we have the Scriptures and we know the points. And see, God's going to be able to bring that all up on the judgment day. Now, look, here's what you did here, and here's what you did here, and here's what you did here, and therefore I don't have any choice but to consider you unfaithful. Because you knew, and you even said to yourself, I need to do this, but you never did it. So we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and the conscience issues that we are dealing with are going to be brought up at that moment. We are going to receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Whether we are seeking to number our days, seeking to realize how frail we are, and making specific steps and being able to go back over my life. What did I do this year? I recognize certain weaknesses. What have I done to make sure that the Lord will say on the judgment day, you did know how frail you were. You did number your days. You did have a heart of wisdom. You did understand my wrath. You did fulfill. You did know the terror of the Lord. And now we can go before God with boldness. Not boldness because of what we did, but boldness because by His grace we measured up to what His expectations were. There is a time to be born, a time to die. We brought nothing in. We can't carry anything out. We're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or you wicked and slothful servant. And as Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. So as we look at what we did this year, is it what we're going to leave behind? Or is it what we're going to take with us? Did we spend time with physical pursuits and physical responsibilities and physical goals? And again, there's nothing wrong with that in measure. As long as the Lord can see that we're putting Him first. That even when we're doing these things, we are honoring Him and glorifying Him and praising Him and keeping Him first in our minds. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, and you know, I cut out a couple of parts here. I think I'll go ahead and go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll actually read the verse. And at this point in the sermon, I hope we can take a little bit of stock. I'm hopeful that this sermon is an exciting and wonderful sermon, that we can actually say, I'm doing these things. Now, I understand that we could be doing better, and that's the purpose of this lesson, but we should already be doing them. This isn't the first time you've heard it. It's the sixth time. And hopefully, by now, you're going to be able to say that I am doing these things. And as I'm reading through these things, I'm telling myself, I already know these things. But I'd sure like to be doing them better. And that's good, because that's spiritual growth. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For if we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries, in regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. The rest of our time, from the moment we're baptized, I bought you. Paul says it's our reasonable service to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. He tells us that we should be transformed. by the renewing of our minds. Once a week, once a month, once a year, every day. What do you think the Lord wants from us? What do you think? What kind of a transformation does he want? The transformation, the term means metamorphosis. That's a Greek word. We know what a metamorphosis is. When the caterpillar goes into the cocoon, comes out as a butterfly. Well, that's what we're doing. We're transforming from the worldly person we were before we became a Christian to the godly person we have the potential to become. The more years we have, the further we should be going. The more we should know, the more we should understand about the scriptures, the more we should be making applications. As we noted last week, knowing the scriptures is only half the battle. The end of the charge is doing the scriptures. It isn't that we are here to defend the gospel. The Church of Christ is not here exclusively to defend the gospel. It is also here to develop Christians to become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we shouldn't be spending the rest of our time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Now, those who number their days, those who know how frail they are, those who understand that there's 70 or maybe 80 years and that we are moving in a direction, and who want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, these are the things that we need to be praying about and thinking about and setting goals. Like I said, as I'm going through this lesson, if I'm finding some things that are troubling to me or to you, there's a goal. You remember Paul in Philippians chapter 4, he said, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." What Paul is saying there is, behind every anxiety is a request. Behind every anxiety is a need. And there's a legitimate way to deal with that need. And there's a legitimate way to resolve that problem, and that is by asking God for help. And then by setting goals. To do as much as we can do, and then leaving the rest in the hands of God. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. See, God isn't stingy. He wants us to enjoy this life. He wants us to have hobbies. He wants us to be able to use our free time for enjoyable purposes. But there's a balance between the spiritual and the physical. And in our culture, free time means video games. It means hobbies, means television, means going places. We can travel. And sometimes we're so full with our free time that God doesn't get what he deserves, which is our body as a living sacrifice, which is our metamorphosis that he's so longing for. That is our fear and our desire to be pleasing to him, personally consecrating ourselves, truly repenting with tears over our sins, recognizing that we have fallen short of the glory of God, realizing that there are lost people out there who need our help, and at least looking for opportunities. I know there aren't many opportunities today. It's easy to just get lax because we try and we try and we try and people aren't interested. But we need to keep trying. God will bring me into judgment. I will receive all the things that I've done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. And let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come will be futility or vanity or emptiness. America, with our culture, with our technology, we've really compressed the dark days. It used to be when there wasn't cataract surgery that you just went blind. And a lot of us would be so unable to see that our life would be very dark indeed. And I don't mean dark in the sense of not being able to see, but dark in the sense that I can't do the things that I want to do anymore. And there are so many things that we have been able, through medications and through surgical interventions, people who should be lame that aren't lame, people who should not have any teeth but have all of their teeth or have dentures, people who can't hear But through surgery or through hearing aids, they're able to hear. So we've definitely compressed the days of darkness. And I'm not deprecating that we shouldn't do that, but I'm saying it destroys our heart of wisdom because we're not losing the things that other people have lost. And we may go into eternity completely unprepared because we were able to postpone all of these things that would have occurred in the dark days that God put there for a specific purpose. And I'm not saying that we're undermining his purpose. I think that God gave us the abilities so we can do this. But we need to have a heart of wisdom because even though we're compressing those dark days, maybe down to 2 or 3 years, and they're not many because we are so blessed in this country, but we may rue it on the judgment day. We may wish we'd lived 50 years ago when we'd have gone through all of these problems because it would have given us the ability to divorce ourselves from the things that could keep us into heaven because they wouldn't matter anymore. But because of the way that we keep our vigor and we keep our abilities, sometimes this isn't, and I hope you don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but I'm saying it's dangerous. It's very dangerous to us because it pushes the deadline to a point of no return. And sometimes we don't even have any dark days. And we don't have that opportunity like other people do to let go. Let us lay aside every weight. What weights? Guilt, pleasures of life, hindrances, lack of attention, being busy with everything else, but what matters? We need to lay aside those weights. Why? So we can run. What about the sin that so easily ensnares us? Well, we need to set that aside as well. And run with patience, run with endurance, run with long-suffering. The race that is set before us. That's how we gain a heart of wisdom. We need to number our days. And so as I look back on this year, I've spent it. It's gone. There's 2 weeks left in the year. I saw that today. I was going to put this off one more week, but a lot of you are going to be gone. I thought, well, I need to do you a favor and preach it early so you have something to think about while you're gone. I like this sermon. I hope that you see it as a blessing, as an opportunity for us to really evaluate ourselves. This is not a negative lesson at all. This is a wonderful opportunity to get us ready. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time. And then vanishes away. And we got to experience that firsthand this week. And we can rejoice. Because I know he took to heart. He heard this lesson 5 times. And I could tell. He would come, we would talk. He would talk about. He was really focused on his end. He was really doing the things that are described here. But he was 85. It's pretty easy to say at that point, or 86, excuse me. It's pretty easy at that point to say, you know, I better be ready. I better be ready any day. But some of us in our 20s or 30s or 40s, we should have that same attitude. And you should have that same attitude. Because we are just a vapor that soon will vanish away. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, a judgment. You can't change it. That's what scares me about death, is it's fixed. And if you're not ready, you can't ever fix it. Can you imagine being on the judgment day and standing before God, having lived a godly life, but in the last 2 or 3 years, just getting a little bit lax and hearing from God, you know, I would have liked to have saved you, and I've done everything I possibly can through the blood of my son and everything else, but you still come up short. You didn't do some of the things that I asked you to do. You didn't have that heart of wisdom. You weren't afraid enough. You slipped back into perdition. Can you imagine eternity thinking about squandering that? That just scares me to death when I think about that for myself and for you. All of us should be concerned about it. We're going to die and go before God in the state that we're in when we die. And you remember that passage in Ezekiel where it says that the righteous man, if he commits a sin, all of his righteousness will be forgotten. That's why I say, don't let sin sit in the soul. You repent of it as soon as you're aware of it. You don't leave it for tonight. I'll pray for that this evening. I'll ask God to forgive me of all the things I've done today. Absolutely not. You don't want to go before God with any of those sins. As Paul said, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and stretching or reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal. You know how he ends this chapter? As many of us as are mature have this same mind. This is the mindset of the Christian. This is what Paul meant when he said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's what he meant when he said, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lust thereof. So, as we summarize some of these things, can you check them off? Make me to know my end? Yep, I'm doing that. What is the measure of my days? Yep, that's me. I'm measuring it out. I'm setting goals. I know I have this much time left. I know these are things I don't want to have in my life when I stand before God. So I got to do this today, and I have to do this tomorrow, and I have to do this next year, and I have to keep working toward this goal. And then from time to time during the year, reevaluating, how am I doing? Am I still knowing my end? Do I still realize how frail I am? Do I understand that I'm just a vapor? Do I realize that once I die, I'm going to stand before God in judgment? That I'm living my life day by day, trying to be ready because we don't know when it's going to come? And of course, we haven't even factored in the second coming of Christ, which can also occur at any moment. You have made my days as handbreadths. Each day, an opportunity to do something day by day by day. My age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Next year, I'll preach this again. And next year, you'll feel the same feelings you do now if you haven't been doing these things, and you'll be 1 year closer, or maybe next year you won't be here to hear this. Maybe next year I won't be here. Preach this, sir. Every end of the year and every birthday, for me, is an opportunity to go back over my life and to evaluate. It's another milepost, and it's telling me you're getting closer and closer to the day that you stand before God, and God has to say, you can spend eternity with me in heaven, or he has to say, I'm sorry, we had a covenant, you were my son, I wanted to save you, I did everything I could for you, but you squandered your opportunities. I don't know if God will apologize to us or if God's going to be angry with us. But I know he wants to save us. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why these scriptures are in here. He's trying to warn us. He's trying to help us understand the magnitude of what we're facing on the judgment day when God is going to be judging billions upon billions of people. And he's going to be able to say, you know, Alan, you said you couldn't do this, but there was a guy in India who was doing a lot more than you, and there was another guy in Washington State who was doing a lot more than you, and you're trying to tell me that you were doing the best you could, but I can show you 150 people or maybe 10,000 people who are doing more than you were doing. What are you going to say? Teach us to number our days. Remember how frail we are. Remember we're a vapor. Remember that we're going to vanish away, but that when we vanish away, our works will follow. And if we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, there's some things I need to be doing right now so I can hear that. So let's pick up our songbooks. Number 317. All things are ready. And they are. And I can end this year ready to meet my Maker. All I have to do, even if I've squandered the whole year, all I have to do is ask God for forgiveness. But then bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. You can't just keep repenting of this sermon year after year after year, and then at the end of next year, be right back where you were, and God say, wow, what a servant I have here. What a servant. Year after year, repenting of the same things, but not making any changes, not making any provisions, so that next year things will be better. If you find yourself in this condition, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, and of course if you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't believed that that Jesus died for our sins, was raised, is now sitting at the right hand of God, God raised him from the dead. Paul said at the end of Romans chapter 4, after he said God reckoned righteousness to him, to Abraham, because he believed God would give him a son, he says it wasn't just written for his sake, but for our sake, who believed God raised Jesus from the dead. But you know, if you believe God raised Jesus from the dead, then Acts 17 and verse 30 says, he has commanded all men everywhere to repent, and he's given assurance in raising Jesus from the dead. That is our call to repent. So if you're here this evening as a Christian, this is your opportunity. Maybe you don't need to come forward. Maybe you need to go home and do some reflecting and some repenting. Maybe even some fasting and praying. To tell yourself, I'm not going to be like this anymore. I'm going to make some serious changes. You know, it takes sometimes a near-death experience to do that, but most of us aren't fortunate enough to go through a near-death experience, and most of us wouldn't pray for it if we could. This is about as close as some of us are going to get. So if you're even close to thinking about making some serious changes in your life, I would recommend you go home, write some of these things down, make some goals, and then evaluate yourself. But if we can help you in any way this evening to publicly confess sin or be baptized into Christ, we offer you the opportunity now to come while we together stand and sing.